Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live for the Built Ford Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are in the free Odyssey app, good Wednesday morning. This is the last night without significant football for the next several days, all the way through Monday night, because you got the college football playoffs Thursday night, Friday night, and then, of course, super wild card weekend, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. I am all jacked up for this. Of course, it ends with a game that my team is playing in. We'll have a lot of football prior to that, and we hope that the Jets next year maybe will get close enough to break that streak, the playoffless streak that they have had as they're trying to find their new GM and their new head coach. And yesterday it got a little bit more complicated for them because they were the only team that had a GM opening. They were the only team until the Tennessee Titans decided, we got the number one pick and I don't trust the GM. Rand Carthon, he's gone, so now they're looking for a GM. And if you're a general manager candidate, you got the number one overall pick. That's an exciting thing for you. And also another firing, Antonio Pierce, officially gone. Does that change the Mike Vrabel Patriots thing because Tom Brady's out there in L.A.? Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Jay. So much news around the NFL, as there always is this time of year. And I think you hit on something that I was going to open with, and that is whether or not Tom Brady can outbid Mike Vrabel if, in fact, the Raiders want to interview Mike Vrabel. Here's the thing about the Patriots, folks. They have already complied through the protocol of the Rooney Rule. They've interviewed two black head coaches, potential head coaches. That would be Byron Leftwich and Pep Hamilton. And I don't know if they're sham interviews. Maybe they are, maybe they aren't. You and I always talk about, if you get an opportunity to interview, if you're one of these guys, you've got to take it because you got to go through the experience, because that will help you in your next interview process. And that's exactly what happened to my buddy, Frank Reich, who's white. Mm-hmm. So these things happen all the time, but the Rooney Rule's out there. And immediately the Patriots got two guys in there that happened to be minorities, and they gave their interviews. And now Mike Vrabel, I think, is going in tomorrow. And I wouldn't be surprised if they have a deal already set in stone that they won't let him leave the building. They don't have to let him leave the building. They could just offer him, you know, some crazy 5-year, $40 million deal or something like that, and he'll take it and he'll be happy with it. But nonetheless, there is a Tom Brady potential, you know, fly in the ointment scenario here, because obviously he is a part owner of the Raiders. They, as you said, they fired Antonio Pierce. That's not surprising to me. And I think a lot of that had to do with in-game management and some of the press conferences. Like, you know, these owners want their coaches to stand up there in front of their fan base, and they want them to be somewhat of a political CEO type. And, you know, there are guys that, you know, we look forward to their press conferences. Mike Tomlin comes to mind. Andy Reid comes to mind. Mike Shanahan. I mean, Kyle Shanahan comes to mind. Not everybody can do it like they do it. So I think these guys are learning, and maybe they'll get a second chance or a third, you know, a second or third chance in some cases. later on down the line. But, man, it is fast and furious what's happening in the NFL.
Yeah, and it's just another job that I think is more attractive than the Jets. And we expected it, so it's not like it was a surprise. It just took longer than some of these other jobs because there was a lot of in-season firings and then things that happened right, you know, on Sunday we found out about Gerard Mayo. So there's a lot of things that already happened, and this took all the way till Tuesday to happen with Antonio Pierce. But that job, I think, is more attractive, even though Mark Davis is a little bit quirky and odd, and that organization has sort of reflected that since he's been in charge. It still seems like a better place, especially with that stadium and the new fan base and everything that's going on.
It's a tough place to coach, and the reason it's a tough place to coach is because it's Vegas.
Yeah,
and they've had problems there with players off the field, and it is a huge problem, you know, for the coaches there to keep everybody focused. You know, the other thing that happened yesterday, talk about players focused. I mean, Mike McDaniel's press conference for the Dolphins. Did you see this?
With Chris Greer, yeah. When they're sitting next to each other. Yeah.
I mean, this is the thing. You're celebrated when you do things quirky and you do things different and you look quirky and you're a little bit off. You know, it's kind of funny when you're winning. When you're not winning and you start talking about players who are late for meetings and you're really specific about the problems that you have internally, I'm like, Jesus, God. And Miami's another one of those places where, you know, off the field, it has a big impact of what's going on the field.
Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely. And it's always been that way. But, yeah, I mean, you want to talk about a CEO type as a head coach. We know that Mike McDaniel isn't that. And when they were riding high and Tua was playing great, I mean, he was the toast of the town. And now he looks like a guy who doesn't know what he's doing. When Tua was hurt and they had a bad season and Tyreek Hill is going rogue and apparently they mended their fences. But, I mean, if you're a head coach that is in full control of your organization, you don't have your star wide receiver as soon as the season ends, say, I'm out. You know, it's been fun playing here, but I'm
out. I think
he's
been part of the problem. I bet you he's been part of the problem. And here's the other thing. You know, he's got five new kids this year or something? Some remarkable number.
I lost count.
Just say this. He's looking for a contract extension is what he's looking for because he's going to need the money.
They just get paid?
But he's got like 2 years left on like a five-year deal, I think he had. And when guys start complaining like this and they want to get traded and all this other crap, you know, the Dolphins are going to have a problem on their hand. Regardless of mending fences today, he'll change his mind tomorrow.
Yeah, probably.
And as good as a player, I mean, honestly, I'm just talking about the player on the field. He's a dynamic player on the field. He changes everything. And every coach in the league would love to have him on their team. But after 2 years, they're going to get sick of him. You know, he's just going to drive everybody crazy. He's going to be late to meetings. He's, you know, he's not going to say the right things. He'll
be driving 100 miles an hour to the stadium.
There's so many crazy things around him.
Right.
And I believe he probably wants a contract extension. But on the field, there is no doubt, or looking at the way that he plays, that he changes the entire landscape of the opposing defense. So he's a great player. But, man, he could be a headache. And, you know, that regardless of burying the hatchet or we're all on the same page, I mean, there's no way with what Mike McDaniel was saying yesterday that you can actually look at him and say, you got control of your football team. You don't. You don't have control of your football team. And that shows you that kind of coaching, that kind of caressing, what do you like to call it?
Coddle guy.
You could coddle so much if you have the right guys to coddle, but they're taking advantage of him.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you think about the guys that Kevin O'Connell has caught, Kevin O'Connell, what he's done out there is, you know, with Sam Darnold who needed coddling, you know, a Kirk Cousins, and then Justin Jefferson is just a great player, a great guy, wants to win, really has never spoke up, has never been a problem at all, like really appreciates where he is in the NFL. So he's, at least up until this point, has not complained, even when they had quarterback issues last year and he wasn't getting the ball as much and he got hurt. You know, he wasn't complaining.
I asked Phil Sims this.
We'll have Phil on today at 8 a.m., by the way.
And I forget what I think he said, that maybe once or twice he might have been late to a meeting. I remember I was only late to a meeting once in my life, and that was because of a car accident, you know, going to Cincinnati from Kentucky on the Brent Spence Bridge, and there was nothing you could do, and there were no cell phones. I had this pit in my stomach.
Oh, it's the worst.
It's like I knew that I was late. I knew that everybody else knew that I was late.
Mm-hmm.
There was nowhere to go. And there were no cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody, you know, there's obviously got all points bulleted out for me. They're looking for me. You know, I had left like at 7 a.m. in the morning. We had a meeting at 8. I had a 15-minute drive, and I showed up at 8:20.
Yeah.
And, of course, I walked in, and Sam had held the team meeting until I got there. And I walk in, and then, you know, everybody's like, "Ooh!" and you just feel like crap because late. But it sounds to me like this generation of football players, not all of them, maybe just a select few on each team, just basically don't understand the responsibility of being a grown-ass man. Like, we like to use those words, grown-ass man.
Sure.
Grown-ass man means you got responsibilities. You got to show up on time, you got to be accountable, and you got to be a leader.
I still think there's more of those guys than not.
No, I'm saying there is.
Yeah.
But all it takes is like two or three guys on a habitual basis that undercut what the coach is doing. So if you have, say, 65 guys on your roster, and you have two or three guys that are completely coming in late or always coming in late, and all you can do is fine them, and there's really no repercussions, especially if they're an important player for your team, what does that do to the coach's credibility, his respect, all the things that we talk about, the words that we talk about every team has to have? You have to be unselfish. You got to be committed. You got to be respectful. You got to be disciplined. You got to be consistent. You know, those words should not ring hollow when it comes to a football team, whether it's a high school football team, a college football team, or a professional football team. Everybody's got to be on the same page. And I don't want to hear any BS excuses about why you're late. If you have a legitimate reason why you're late, it's once a season. Maybe there's something you have at home that happens that, you know, is out of your control, or something that, you know, is bigger than football. That's a different story. But if you're just like hanging out on a, you know, on a Tuesday night and you get in at 1 o'clock and you show up at 9 o'clock as opposed to 7:30, that's BS.
Yeah, and these are some of the reasons why we keep talking about that personality and that game changer and that guy that commands respect with the Jets walking into that building, and you know that he is in charge. Now, I don't love the way that this Jets coaching search has gone so far, but I will give you one big positive.
All right.
So far, one big positive.
One big positive.
Something that feels different already.
Well, the Jet Nation
needs
something to give them, you know, something to chew on to be positive.
Well, it's not that big of a deal, but it is a positive thing.
All right.
So far, no leaks.
Okay.
You're not hearing anything. Like, generally, in this past season, a lot of leaks, a lot of stuff in The Athletic, a lot of this, a lot of that. I mean, it feels like they took this operation down to Florida, and they've got this thing completely under wraps.
Oh, it's locked up, man.
And you haven't heard how the Rex thing went. You haven't heard how the Vrabel thing went. Like, they are really tight-lipped with this, with so many candidates out there, and also having hired the 33rd team. So
I'm wondering if they've, with their interviews, if they sat down with these guys and said, look, here's your NDA. You cannot say anything. Your agent cannot say anything. And if we hear something, we're just going to take you off the list.
I mean, and you say, oh, why is that a positive? That's a positive because it feels like they've learned something, you know, and trying not to step in it and trying not to make things worse than they already are. And saying, all right, we got to make sure that we're handling this like professionals, and there's not all these reports and there's Diana Russini things that are all over the place. We got to make sure that this thing is done differently. So far, so good.
I just don't understand one thing. I mean, like, I would hope your GM would be involved in these. You got to make sure that two people can work together, that there's some sort of similarity in the way of thinking about the game of football.
Yeah, you know, I thought about this too, because I've always said, and in lockstep with you, that the GM, you hire the GM, the GM hires the coach. However, it's kind of hypocritical of me to say that when I've continued to say that the alpha male has to be the head coach. So in this instance, to me, it's not that crazy to go the other way and be like, get the head coach, get the CEO head coach, and then find the GM that can work with that guy, because in this instance, that head coach and that dude is more important than anybody.
Another more speculation on my part, but I would say that, you know, if it is Phil Savage as the GM, which I wouldn't have a problem with, by the way, Rex Ryan has a really good chance, because I know that they have a relationship.
Yeah.
And I don't know how that relationship, you know, has transpired over the years, but I would think that even though he has not been interviewed, I don't necessarily know that he has to be interviewed because he's been on the Jets staff, you know, as a consultant and has been around the team and knows the inner workings of the team and knows everybody involved, knows the roster, knows what they need or what they feel like they need in order to improve the team and make the team better. And it'd be interesting to see whether or not, you know, Rex Ryan, if it is Phil Savage, says, yeah, I could play with Aaron Rodgers. Just as long as Aaron Rodgers follows my rules and knows what I want, then I'm good with it. And, you know, Rex would be the alpha male. And I think that would, if Aaron ended up staying here, I think that would be good for Aaron. I think Rex would be great for Aaron, honestly, you know, because it would take so much pressure off for him having to be like the center of attention of everything because of who he is, what he's accomplished somewhere else. And Rex could come in and just be the bombastic Rex Ryan that will handle the press, handle the media, I mean, handle the fan base, and probably build a really aggressive defense and tell Aaron Rodgers, this is what we're doing, and this is what I need you to do. And if Aaron Rodgers took less money to do that, I mean,
who's going to be running the offense? That's really the question.
That will be,
because that's got to be someone Aaron's getting along with.
Yeah, no, and again, like, you don't want to change an old dog because you can't teach him too many new tricks at his age. And I think we saw that over this past year. You know, press coverage means I'm throwing back shoulder throws to my wide receivers, and in every crunch time situation, it felt like that's exactly what he did. Anytime there was press coverage, he was either looking for 5 or 17. Most thought it'll be 17 because they have a special report doing that. But opposing defenses knew that. So what do? They you know, do the press coverage and they tell their cornerback, look, this is what's going to happen. Now it's up to you to make a play.
Yeah, you know, and I know that that's always going to be a talking point, Aaron Rodgers, but I'm not so concerned yet about next year's team and who the quarterback is going to be, because this hire at head coach is just, it's not only about next year. I mean, but it's about cleaning this thing up and building a foundation finally where they could have some sort of sustained success.
I'm telling you, if they walked Rex Ryan or John Gruden in that building, those, or Mike Vrabel for that matter, which I doubt's going to happen, but if it were Rex Ryan, he walked in the building, the players would be jacked up. He would just make them so excited. And I'm sure that there would be a lot of ex-players that would be hanging around that played for Rex that would help and be a part of, you know, rebuilding whatever Rex had here when he was successful. I don't want to discount the legitimacy of his interview. I just don't. I don't know how it went. You know, if he walked in there and said, this is my staff, this is how I'm going to do things, I bleed Jet Green, this is what we think we can do. If you want to keep Aaron Rodgers, I can work with him, but he's going to have to work under, you know, what I need to do. To me, it's like you got to have a coach like that. But the other thing, too, is remember, you know, he is a coach who really hasn't had a quarterback. Mark Sanchez was good under him, but I think he stunted Mark Sanchez's chance for any sort of growth anywhere. Because I remember a game down in Baltimore where Sanchez got his ass kicked. And then after that game, all Rex could talk about was ground and pound. Like, the next game, I would have had Mark Sanchez throwing 60 passes. And if you throw 5 interceptions, so be it. But you're going to learn how to pass in this league, and you're going to be a reason why we win. But he won protecting Mark Sanchez. And he wouldn't need to do that in the way that I'm speaking about with Aaron Rodgers if he decided to keep him. And I bet you that any sort of veteran coach knows the most important position on his team, I need that quarterback to have a chance to win. And if Aaron Rodgers is not in the mix, then who is?
Yeah, this process is going to take a long time because there's still a ton of guys that are on that list that the Jets have not interviewed yet. So
really?
I mean,
it feels like they've interviewed just about everybody.
They've requested. They haven't interviewed them.
Oh, I see.
So if you look on the CBS Sports Network graphic that they had up with the head coaches in red, they have the ones that they actually interviewed, and then the rest of them, they have these. That's, yeah, here you go.
Oh,
look
my
at this.
God, Jesus. You know what I don't see on there?
John Gruden.
I don't see John Gruden or Ben Johnson.
I know. Well,
why interview somebody if you know they're not coming?
Right. But it is funny that they've requested everybody, but the consensus number one next great offensive mind. I know he's not going to come here, and I know it's not a fit, but it just is funny that they're dusting off every single candidate except John Gruden, who I think would be perfect, and Ben Johnson, who is a guy that, I mean, at least get him in there and pick his brain for the hell of it.
Yeah, I you would think so, but I also know that a very interesting thing is going on in Dallas right now with Mike McCarthy. So the Bears requested an interview with Mike McCarthy of the Cowboys, whose contract runs out on January 14th. And the Cowboys denied the request for an interview.
Yeah.
So January 14th, he becomes a free agent, and he can then interview on January 14th.
Yeah, so it makes me think that they're working on a contract extension right now.
Are they?
I would think so. I mean, if they aren't, that's one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard, blocking him from another chance at a job and then retaining him to the point where he can't go coach another team.
Would it really suck if they didn't give him a new contract extension and then say the Bears never got a chance to interview him because they decided to go with somebody else, although I don't think that will happen.
They can't do that. That's bad. Because that's bad.
We're at January 8th right now.
He's going to get a contract extension. They're working on that now. They have to. Jerry Jones is not that diabolical, and he likes Mike McCarthy. So I think Mike McCarthy's going to come back as the Cowboys head coach.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We've got Jerry Recco in here. What's up, Jerry?
Morning, brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. And brought to you by Serve Pro Cleanup, Restoration, and Construction. Visit servepro.com. A lot of conversation, obviously, about the Jets. Rex in his interview. Jets planning to interview Matt Nagy and Kansas City assistant GM Mike Borgonzi, the guy you want, the leader in the clubhouse.
Borgonzi, bro. You know what I want to see, too, do well in this whole thing? Is that Mike Greenberg, not Mike Greenberg ESPN, right, but Mike Greenberg from Long Island. He's down in Tampa. Yep. He helped with the Brady contract. So I hope his name gets out there because he seemed like a great guy when we interviewed him.
And what do you think about Tampa? I mean, they've had a lot of success. I mean, you know, they won the Super Bowl with Brady, obviously. But even now with Baker Mayfield, and what Baker Mayfield has done is taken him to the playoffs 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
I mean, and with Todd Bowles as the head coach. It went from Bruce Arians. I mean, so he's been around a winning decision-making organization at least for the last 5 or 6 years.
Now, a lot of people have opinions on what to do with the Jets. And of course, this goes all over the place.
All right.
There's an article in the paper about it, which to me is comical. But Mike on his podcast offered his solution for the Jets going forward.
I could build a team for the Jets right now, where I would completing is the best word, this roster.
And the plan going forward.
I'm the best there is.
Would be.
I would hire Rex and give him unusual authority where he's not the head coach, but he's got more than typical defensive coordinator status.
So on.
It's the job his father flourished in Chicago. When Mike Ditka left Dallas, now Mike Ditka was, as you know, if you're not familiar with Ditka, you should be, but if you're not, Ditka was an all-world tight end for the Bears. I would like to see Rex recreate that job with the Jets. I'll give you money. I'll give you a soapbox. But you're not the head coach.
Oh, it's not gonna
work. No. You don't know what you're talking about.
And then if I'm Woody, I buy Greenland. That's what I do.
There's no way that concept would ever work. You know, Rex Ryan wants to be the head man. You're going to bring Rex Ryan in as some sort of assistant to some other head guy?
Yeah, no way.
He will kill that guy.
Yeah, that's ship spot.
Unless that is a ship spot, forget it.
None other.
That would add to the dysfunction of the Jets.
Yeah, I mean, that idea is worse than bringing Rex back. I mean, that's like as the head coach.
Right. You're a fool, okay?
I don't understand where he's going with this, and I understand about the
unusual authority.
And the Buddy Ryan, I understand that whole, because I lived all that. I saw that. And those two guys hated each other.
Yeah.
Hell, they were fighting each other.
I mean, you think, all right, we're going to hire Rex as some sort of special defensive and special powers guy.
Yeah.
And now we're going to hire a coach. Let's say they bring in Ben Johnson under those situations.
Oh, yeah, eat him right up.
Eat him right up.
I would give him unusual authority. Okay.
What about Pete Carroll and Rex?
No way. It's not.
Take it from somebody who's been doing it for 30 years and has done it better than anybody else. Just shut up and do your shows.
Oh, God. It's just not happening. By the way, Pete Carroll makes a lot of sense for the Bears, though. Tell you that.
And he's interviewing with them.
Young quarterback with Russell Wilson, made it happen.
You know, I'm curious because Al's always talking about 80s, 70s, 80s, even maybe early 90s football. Do you know this answer?
When football was football.
Do you know this answer?
Yeah.
Who did Buddy Ryan try to punch in the face on the sideline?
Oh, man.
I was there for that.
Oh.
I was on the field.
Jeff Fisher?
No. You got to think offense. And you got to think Giants offense with Eli Manning.
That's going to confuse him even more, I think. You're mouthing it to him. Yeah. Kevin Gilbride is the answer.
Never have gotten that.
Yeah. I was on the other sideline.
That's unbelievable. Did you see it? Like you saw it unfold?
Yeah, it was crazy.
That's awesome.
I'm like, they're kicking our ass and they're kicking each other's ass. I'm like, what the hell are they doing? What is that all about?
That is funny. And you have told that story many times.
It's crazy.
The Raiders did indeed fire Antonio Pierce, but retain their GM, Tom Telesco. And as you guys mentioned, Brady is going to be involved in this coaching search, which seems odd as he's doing these broadcasts to the playoffs, too.
It is the strangest. I mean, I don't know.
He's got to be done after this year. You can't do both of these things at the same time. You just can't.
The Bears were denied permission from the Cowboys to interview Mike McCarthy.
What does that mean, Jer? What's old Jer going
to
do?
I think my opinion is he's confused as to what to do. I think he wants to bring him back, but isn't sure he wants to bring him back, and he's not going to let him just run off and go interview until he makes a decision.
He hasn't made a decision yet?
I don't know. If you watched him and listened to him on Sunday, it does not look like he has made a decision yet.
How does he not make a decision?
I don't know. And does McCarthy want to be back?
And by the way, Dak Prescott supported McCarthy, and Dak Prescott's going to be there the next 4 years.
No, I get it.
So he supported McCarthy, and I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I think Mike McCarthy is a professional head coach. That's what he is. No matter how much we make fun of him because of the way he talks and the way, he's heavy and everything else, but he is a professional head coach. You know, people would want him to be their head coach.
I don't think him being heavy matters.
Yeah, it does.
No, it doesn't.
He's got the whole Yinzer look and everything. Looks like he's been eating some hoagies. What do they call him out there?
No, they do call him hoagies, but you were doing more of a Philly thing.
All right, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not as good as you at that.
Yeah, fair.
I like to stay in my lane when it comes to these impressions.
The 49ers did remove Nick Sorensen from his role as defensive coordinator.
Hello, Jeff Ulbrich.
To retain him in another role, yes. And Rand Carthon was fired by the Titans as GM, to which Dion gave the big bulging eyes on social media.
Do you think if the Titans wanted Shador, would Dion sign off on that? They are building a new stadium out there. It is Nashville. It's a booming city. I mean,
I don't know. You know what? I don't really, if Dion's going to, opine on all of these different things.
Well, he is. I mean, we know that.
I mean, yeah, but he's also got a racial aspect to everything that he's doing. You know, and there's, I don't know what to tell you. Only the people in those buildings know whether or not those guys that are in those positions are making the right decisions, doing what the owner wants them to do when the game is on the line, in a press conference, selecting players, signing free agents. There's so much more that goes into these decisions, and these owners don't take it lightly. This is not something that they want to do.
Yeah, I'm just more talking from the standpoint of, does Dion view the Titans as a good fit for his son? Because they have the number one overall pick, and they just fired their general manager. I mean, it's because we know he's not going to, the Cleveland thing, the way he has talked about organizations and where he wants Shador to go, we know he's not going to say Cleveland. But
maybe Shador will fall to the Giants at number three, and maybe the Giants will take him like he said they would.
Do you look at the Titans as an organization? Like if you had,
yeah, they're a mess. They've been dysfunctional too. I mean, there's probably a third of the league that falls under the dysfunctional category, and that's one of them.
Sure.
Saturday at 4:30, the Texans play the Chargers as the playoffs get underway. Here's Jim Harbaugh out in Los Angeles. So, what was the thinking in signing Ezekiel Elliott?
Competitors, welcome. At the Los Angeles Chargers.
That's it. And he's a competitor, and he'll be there on Sunday.
I wonder
Saturday.
How they're practicing with the fires and everything out there.
Oh, man. I mean, some of those videos and pictures
are horrendous.
They're saying 100-mile-an-hour Santa Ana winds.
Ooh.
will be hitting there today, fueling more fires and fueling the fire that's going.
Brutal, just brutal. Here is Justin Herbert. He was asked when he kind of realized that Harbaugh was a different type of guy.
I think when he talked about remembering the day that he was born was probably the first day that he kind of told us the whole story and how he remembered looking out the window, and I think it was a cold, snowy day. I really hope he does remember that. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm not so sure he does, but
yeah, but that's
neat story to tell.
Yeah, it's a little awkward.
He's
yes,
a little out
but
there.
But he's a hell of a coach, man.
Yes, he is. Saturday, 8 p.m., Ravens and Steelers. Here's Mike Tomlin. Thoughts on the quarterback position. You're going to try and do anything different. If Wilson's not playing well, you have Justin Fields.
Certainly in an effort to win this game, I am open to any combination or combinations of the division of labor in an effort to do so. And so I'm certainly open to that as we develop plans this week.
Is that a yes or a no?
The divisions of labor.
Long story short, yes, I'm open
did
to
he,
it.
Did you see anything about George Pickens? Did he say anything about George?
I haven't been able to have enough time to go watch his press conference.
Man, I got it. Is he there next year, you think?
No. I don't think
George Pickens we're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, he was fighting with fans, fighting with the quarterback, fighting with other players on the sideline. He's just a liability. I don't think so. I don't think you can. I mean, unless he in this offseason proves that he's going to be a different guy. I mean, he's a problem.
And here's one more from Tomlin. What it's like preparing to play a team for a third time in one season.
It doesn't get routine with each matchup. It gets more sophisticated. It gets more complex and from a coach's perspective, more fun.
And that will be 8 p.m. on Saturday.
I would hope that they can just keep this game somewhat close. You know, the way that they've been playing, and I don't think
they were lousy against them.
Yeah, I don't think T.J. Watt's 100%. Their offense has been blah the last couple weeks. The last time their offense looked any good is when they beat Cincinnati in Cincinnati, and then they've lost every game since.
It's going to be another year they get eliminated in the first round.
And then what for quarterback? You know, like they are in the quarterback blender. They're just good enough. But again,
you know who Peter King suggested? Peter King suggested for the Steelers next year.
I talked to Peter King last night.
Oh, did you?
Did
you talk about this?
No.
Okay. Aaron Rodgers.
Oh. Yeah, well, everybody's been talking about that.
Steelers, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. You guys brought it up yesterday, too.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Really?
I thought you did.
I did.
Okay. All right.
NBA tonight.
No.
I don't remember saying. I mean, I want Aaron Rodgers away from the NFL. So every landing spot, because he's cooked, he's done, it's over. Sorry. I mean, guy had a bad year. I know he had like three or four good throws at the end of the season. And everybody's woo. No, it's over. It's 100 years old.
Tonight in the NBA, you've got the 30-5 Thunder playing the 31-4 Cavaliers. Oklahoma City's won 15 straight. Cleveland, a 10-game winning streak. The Knicks are home for the Raptors, and they will play Oklahoma City later in the week. As we know, the Nets take on the Pistons on the Fan at 7:20. College basketball, St. John's beating Xavier, as we hear from the Mink Man.
Richmond rolls off the screen. Richmond free throw line, throws it. Wilcher for three. Bingo! Simeon Wilcher with the home run shot.
He loves the bingo. Still going with the bingo.
Yeah, I was getting live updates from this game from Vin Parisi, who was the color commentator for Minko.
Okay.
So he only gets to do a few games with John, and when he does, he keeps me updated on how John's doing. And John's growing out his sideburns. So, I mean, John's growing out his sideburns.
Really?
And, he is basically a cap and a candle away from being Ebenezer Scrooge. That's what he's going for. I mean, he looks healthy, looks good. Sounds great.
I hope he's healthy.
But he's growing out those gray mutton chops.
That is all that matters. The Stars beat the Rangers in overtime 5-4 after the Rangers had a 3-0 lead in this game.
Oh,
Jamie
God,
Benn
please.
With the game-winning goal. You got a point.
This was awful. This was an awful turnover by Keandre Miller. It's just decision-making, hockey IQ sense. They're up 4-3. And he's got the puck. He tells Ryan Lindgren, I got it. He tries to throw it back to Lindgren as opposed to just throwing it up the boards to his winger. And it ends up in the back of the net to tie the game. And then it goes in overtime. And then Panarin takes a penalty in overtime. And next thing you know, Jamie Benn is standing in front of the net with nobody around him. I mean, like, they had 39 shots on goal last night. And the front of the goddamn goalie is wide open every freaking game. Okay.
And are you guys into this tomorrow golf league at all?
I was on at 9:00. I'm going to watch it this afternoon on ESPN Plus, where it's up there. But I saw a couple of highlights. I saw the Barstool guys go there and experience it themselves. So, listen, I'm into everything. I know I'm a little bit of an outlier because I'm a freak with all this stuff now. But, yes, I'm going to watch it. I'm going to get into it. And the fact that they have, like, a shot clock on them, yep, and it moves quickly and there's a team aspect, it'll be interesting to watch.
I just think that it really looks good on TV.
Yeah, I mean, especially in that SoFi Center, and they got the people there, and it's close, and Tiger was there, and it's just, so I'm excited to watch.
And so the Bay beat the New York Club. I'll just give you some of the players in case you're curious. The Bay Club featured Ludwig Oberg, Wyndham Clark, Min Woo Lee, and Shane Lowry. And the New York Club is Fitzpatrick, Fowler, Shoffley, and Cameron Young.
Yeah, and Cameron Young has to be on the New York team.
I don't know why they didn't. They should have at least, what I would have done, I would have added an LPGA player on each team.
Yeah.
I would have made it. What's that?
Could have done that.
I would have done.
LPGA team,
but I know,
too.
But I know they are separate entities. Like, all these things are separate entities. Like, the PGA Tour was essentially created by Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus because they wanted to make more money. So they created the PGA Tour. And that is a different entity than PGA of America. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's completely different. And this TGL thing, you know, this is done by, I believe it's done by the players. I don't necessarily know, you know, like the PGA Tour itself did not have a major. You know, the majors are separate. They are all unto themselves until the PGA Tour came up with the Players Championship. That's the PGA Tour's owned and operated major, according to them.
New York team's got to have Charlie Hull on it if they go with LPGA because she's the best. She's the one that's ripping those butts and looking hot out there. Amazing.
What about Paige Spiernak? Put her on one of those teams.
She's not really on the LPGA Tour, though.
Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, in that case, and just throw anybody out there with big boobs.
No, she can play.
And peanut butter skin.
She can play.
All right, we got to take a break.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Al got me into this podcast that I've been listening to on the way home the last couple of days. And you're going to think that it's absolutely nuts and not possible. But if you listen to this, and it's become very popular, I think it's going to be a documentary at some point. It's called The Telepathy Tapes. And what this is about nonverbal autistic children that can read the minds of people. Now, you hear that telepathy, reading the minds, you're like, it's just impossible. They do test after test after test where the autistic child's in a different room. The mother is in a different room. They show the mother a picture, and then the mother thinks of the picture. And then the kid in the other room types out, because they're nonverbal, they're called spellers. You know, spell out, show them a picture of a banana. It goes B-A-N-A. It's like, right, 100% of the time.
Is it only the mom?
Well, some people, it's only one person in the family.
Okay.
There is somebody I was just introduced to in this one episode who it's everybody. And they had a cameraman that was there, and they did the test with him. Never met the guy before or nothing. What were you thinking? I think it was the word friend. So he writes out on a piece of paper, like outside, friend. And then the guy, the nonverbal autistic child, F-R-I-E-N, like before he could even finish.
How old are these kids?
They vary, you know, they're more of, you know, one of them was like 21. The big tall guy was around that age. I think others are 13, 12. They vary.
Wow.
And before they knew that they could spell, you know, they couldn't speak, they couldn't communicate, and then finally they'd get these devices where they could spell, and then most of them in these stories, like the kids would say to their parents, I can read your mind. I know what you're thinking.
Wow. That is crazy.
It is, and you could do nothing but believe that this is happening when you listen to these things. Like it would have to be the biggest April Fool's joke or the biggest, most cruel thing ever if these people were lying about this. And the thing that makes me really believe it is that you get these guys and these camera crews that are part of this documentary and this podcast that are like skeptical. There's absolutely no way. There was one brother of a kid one of the autistic kids, as he was a Marine. It's like, there's no way this could happen. He's like, there's just absolutely no way. I don't believe it. I'm as a realist as possible. Now he believes it. He would have his friends come over. His brother would read his friends' minds. It's crazy. So it completely puts what we believe about human consciousness on its ear. So, and then there is a documentary that is coming out as well, right? It's not just a podcast?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're working on that. They've been videotaping all this stuff. That's the audio podcast. There's a video component to it. I don't know if they have a deal yet somewhere or what is going on with that.
No, I haven't checked it out yet, but there's actually, I think it's telepathytapes.com. They have the video of some of these tests that have been done. So I want to see it as well as after listening to it.
I think you do have to pay for the website.
Oh, okay.
In order to see that, as they're trying to raise money.
Yeah, okay. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, of course, I talked about this on the podcast, so people started immediately sending me all these articles about how it's all fugazi, but I'm not buying any of that crap.
But how could it...
Well, the whole thing they get in later episodes about how even the spellers, as they're called, that's assisted by a parent, so the parent is leading them through touch on how to type, but I don't buy that.
Well, okay. But there is that was a thing in that other documentary with that Rutgers professor where that was assisted, where she was moving the arm. But some of these spellers are doing it themselves. They don't have assisted communication.
Yeah, or they need a little touch just to get them started. Just so that they were saying so they could feel that they have an arm, because some of the kids don't even feel like they have appendages.
Right.
So that sometimes just even a tap on the shoulder to say, hey, start spelling for us.
Well, they also put the people in a different room, So I don't know. I'm sorry. I believe it. There's something going on here.
Kids can't speak, but they can hear.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, right. Yeah. All right. So, and they understand exactly what's going on here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of them are very, very excited to show the world what they can do. You know, they loved one kid was, overwhelmed by the cameras and the lights, but there were others that were like, couldn't wait for the camera crew and everybody to show up so they could finally tell their story and explain to people that.
That had to be so frustrating for those kids until this was found out that they could do this.
I mean,
think about how frustrating that had to be for them.
Yeah, the one kid was 17 before he was able to communicate with his mom and tell her that he had heard everything and knew everything that was going on.
I mean, it's crazy. I mean, it really is. But, and I, of course, went in thinking there's no way people can read each other's minds. But after hearing the whole thing, I totally believe it. And I'm not exactly a gullible person, or I'm a very cynical person.